So it looks like there might be an issue. Appreciate everyone checking in. It's Mo and Mel, West Coast Wednesdays here, the Girl Chat Sports. And one second, because this is what streaming is about. We had a little issue. We were supposed to be streaming live on our new platform, which is Fuel Sports Network. And it looks like, from what StreamYard is telling me, is it didn't work. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if it can be changed throughout the course of here. But we will be able to be viewed live on our usual Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific time, on Roku or your Amazon Fire Stick on the Fuel Sports Network. So make sure, if you do watch it on your streaming services, you check them out. And that's where we'll be. At least, if not today, we'll be there for sure next week. But, and if you are watching, go ahead and share. Share a like. Go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on all social media at Girl Chat Sports. Without further ado, we've got a lot of sports to cover. Of course, I got my Seahawks gear on because the draft is tomorrow. NFL draft starts. We got to talk a lot of WNBA news, Aces news, a lot of Vegas sports news. We got hot topics, but in regards to Vegas sports, I had a chance to experience something new this weekend here in Las Vegas, and I hope Mo does able to as well. But we got a little late to the game. We want to make sure everybody out there is able to know about the newest women's professional sport in Las Vegas. That's the Vegas Thrill, professional volleyball team. And our guest tonight is going to be the head coach, Fran Flori. So, Fran, please welcome to the show.
Welcome,
Thank you.
Fran.
Thanks for
Hello.
having me.
I know.
Yes, so excited. Like I was telling Mo after I left the game Saturday, I was like, it was amazing. I was completely in awe. I'll talk about a couple of the players specifically later on in the show. We want to get to know you first a little bit, Fran. So why don't you give us a little bit of a little backstory, a little cliff notes just on you, volleyball, career, player, coaching, et cetera.
But before we
Yeah.
even do that, with
Oh.
your intro, you have to say this woman is legendary, and she's gonna get into it with her snippet, but
Oh.
she is a legend in the coaching game. Yes, as far as you know who she is. So yes, friend, please let us
Big
know. Because we
time.
got a
Okay,
legend
big time.
now on our
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. You're way too kind. But I played volleyball and actually was a basketball person first and wanted to play basketball, but I'm a little bit older than you guys, and we didn't have many opportunities back in the day. And so I have fortunate to be part of a lot of startups. Started a basketball team at my high school. Got to go play volleyball at the University of Texas in Austin, and fortunate enough to win a national championship, the last AIAW national championship
Wow.
before NCAA sponsored women's sports. So
Wow.
last year, Association of Intercollegiate Athletics for Women ruled all women's sports, and then the NCAA came in 1982 and took over and took over all sports, men's and women's, both sides. So I've been part of a lot of transitions. Went into the coaching career and coaching field, and I knew I was going to be a coach from the very start. Just what I'm meant to do. The good Lord put that in my brain and allowed me the opportunity. And hey, that's where I headed. And I've coached at a lot of universities, University of Kentucky, Southeastern Louisiana, and most recently Louisiana State University,
Very
which
cool.
was my dream job. I'm from Baton Rouge, grew up there, didn't go to school at LSU. Everybody's like, why? Wanted to go out, figure out my life and figure out me. And then got to coach there for 25 years and retired. And then this opportunity started. And hey, you can't say no to another opportunity to further opportunities for women. This is the first ever professional women's volleyball league in the United States.
And it's amazing. I mean, you retired from, I mean, granted, your career is impeccable and the coaching career, your time at LSU, you retired. What is it that made you think, you know what, I'm ready now? Because is it the professional league? Is it something new? Is it different? Like, what is it that made you think, you know what, yeah, I'm not ready to quite hang it up yet? Maybe you pull a little Tom Brady or something, you know? So.
I can't say it was Tom Brady. The draw was to provide something for people and for women that have never had that before. I think my life and my focus in life is to serve others, and I've dedicated my entire life to this sport, over 40 years of serving and trying to improve this sport and improve opportunities for women within the sport. And I know I've done a lot of things right. I hadn't done a lot of things right. There's a two-way, you know, two-way street to everything. But this opportunity, and Ruben Herrera, who's the president and CEO, is a dear friend of mine. And we coached in Louisiana. He was at University of New Orleans when I was an assistant coach at LSU many, many years ago. And he called me and said, hey, come do this. Like, I need somebody that understands how hard this is going to be, how much work, the inside and outside and upside down of it. And hey, will you come do this? And I said, hey, I will. I'll try it, see what happens. And it's been an incredible journey so far.
That's awesome. And not to mention, you didn't mention the championships within that dash of your career with LSU. SEC championships, let's talk about it. You know, we have to talk about it. And by the way, Fran, I attended Southern University, so I'm a sister to the, yes.
Hey,
Southern alum.
I go to Southern volleyball matches. The Southern coach is a very dear friend of mine, and my husband and I go to all of her matches. It's incredible atmosphere down there.
It's awesome. It is. And I have friends that went to, so they were always shout out the, so that was very familiar to me as well, that whole boot state, you know what I mean?
Awesome.
And, you know, speaking of, you know, you're going to watch Southern athletes play in the volleyball games there. Was there ever a crossover where LSU students would play against Southern? Not official, but just as a kind of bridging, because the schools were not too far in proximity from each other in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. I mean, we played spring tournaments against their team and our team.
Excellent. There's
definitely that happening. Their football team came and played LSU football recently.
Right.
And so we're all trying to make each other better and gain opportunities. And hey, we want to take care of each other in the South. That's just what we're about. And as I'm learning, that's what this area is about as well.
Absolutely. Now we're kind of chatting off camera when we first popped on real quick about just, you know, what we're seeing now in today's sports for women, you know, the hype around the women's college basketball and the WNBA now. And then you have, of course, our Las Vegas Aces and the two-time champions. And you're seeing all this splurge into women's in sports. We saw the hockey league for professional league for women that started, as well as this volleyball league. Like, what does it mean for you to be a part of this movement of the volleyball here in the United States, in North America, be the first pro league? Like, what does that mean for you just to be here on the grassroots and be in the inaugural season?
Well, I think personally, I take a lot of pride in trying to do it right. I think the people that start things, I don't think anybody really understands the work that it takes to get these things off the ground. It's a startup, and the business world understands what a startup is. And that's the same thing that we are. And so, you know, the old school people like myself, who didn't have the support system that coaches of today have, understand what that is. We're the manager, we're the equipment ordering person, we're the CFO, we're everything. And I take a lot of pride in saying, hey, I'm okay. I'm willing to step into all of those roles to get this off the ground and then eventually pass it off to the next who are ready to make it even better. I think it's pretty incredible. And I don't know if you guys even know, University of Nebraska volleyball played in their football stadium this fall, and they had 92,000 people.
Insane. That's insane.
Set a world record for women's sports, for the most viewed spectators for a women's sporting event in the world, surpassing the World Cup in soccer.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's insane. I think we actually shared a picture of that. I remember seeing the picture of the stadium. And, you know, you think about a volleyball court, it's smaller than a basketball court a little bit. And so when people complain about, you know, like March Madness at a football stadium, you got the little court and how are you seeing? Think of it. Those are dedicated fans, not only outside in Nebraska and you're watching volleyball on a smaller little platform. I mean, it's huge. And that's...
Yeah, they had to look like little ants running around, but the support was incredible. And the atmosphere, you know, they televised it and the atmosphere was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And you know, that was the beginning of the year. And then you walk into and every attendance record was broken at most major schools in NCAA volleyball this fall. I mean, there were records falling left and right. And then you walked into basketball season and the same thing happened. And you have Caitlin Clark in the NBA. I mean, what great time for young women and young girls to have incredible role models, right? To step up and say, I can be that one day.
Yeah, because we didn't have those growing up. So to be able to like be 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 or 13 and be like, gosh, there's a, you know, this is how I can make a living. This is where I can go. This is what I can do if I, you know, after school or even what, it's just, it's impressive. I'm glad to be alive during this time of, you know, time in sports. It's just great. But speaking on the fans and the city, we want to get in with Las Vegas and the thrill, because I know personally, and I'm sure Moto's too, some of our friends with kids that are in volleyball tournaments that have AAU volleyball, that have the select teams. I mean, volleyball has gotten just about as big, if not sometimes bigger, as than basketball in these tournaments out here. And what has that meant for you guys as a thrill? How has the fans or the viewership for you guys been with having like all these local volleyball players in town?
And well, not to mention real quickly, before you answer that, Fred, you have to understand I'm born and raised in Las Vegas. So volleyball has always been a culture here. You had Northern Nevada Juniors. I had best friends that went to high school that were of height, that what they played was volleyball. Volleyball was always one of those activities that was bigger than softball, bigger than women's basketball. Was always a women's sport out here that dominated. Be it whatever high school you went to, volleyball was the ticket, junior high, whatever levels it was. So I know the local support is there, but now seeing it fast forward to actual professional team, I got to be honest with you, I was not surprised that we were the first to get one. I really wasn't, just because of the culture of this city and the state and how volleyball is very impactful for women's sports out here.
But and I agree. Yeah, yeah, I think it was important that that support was here to choose Vegas as one of the cities, right? Like, you had to have that. And, you know, I had no idea how much volleyball was here until I moved here. You know, I recruited forever and we came to huge tournaments in the Vegas Convention Center and long ago in Cashman. And I mean, it's always been a spot for club volleyball forever and ever. Mm-hmm. And probably my 40 years, they've had tournaments here the entire time.
So absolutely.
It's a destination for volleyball and it has a ton of local volleyball that goes right with it. And the true joy for me in it is seeing those club players and those young women just light up when they see our players. And our players are super accessible. They're super engaging. They understand the assignment. Like, they're leading the charge and they need to be the right role models and deliver the right message and live the right way and do all of those things. And so when those players, those young club players, and even the young kids that don't even play yet are just so enthralled with our players, that's the true joy. That's why you do this, because then we're planting a seed for those young kids to say, maybe it can be me at some point, you know? And so, I mean, we've been doing clinics at different clubs and all over the place. And I'm just super impressed with this entire community. I had no idea. And our attendance is amazing because of that.
Yeah.
They're all in the stands.
My nephews are 6'4" and 6'5". And instead of playing basketball at Legacy High School, shout out to Legacy for them, they played volleyball. They were on the varsity teams for volleyball. That was their sport of choice. And it's just kind of like, you look at it and everyone assumes that basketball would have been there. They're like, no, we play volleyball. And that's just what I'm citing as an example of how immersed the city of Las Vegas is when it comes to the volleyball sport and culture. So I could just imagine the fan support that's there. I know it has.
I have to tell you, the hard part is when they have those club tournaments and all that, and we have a match at home, our attendance does go down a little bit because they're off playing their own matches.
Right. Playing their games.
So we do run into that a little bit, right? But it's all good. Hey, they're here when we're in town, they're all here.
Nice. Now, of course, we saw the name change of the Dollar Loan Center now to the Lees Family Forum. It's always been a beautiful place to play, no matter what the name was on the front of it. It's fairly new. It hosts a few of the local professional teams here. It's a great venue. What I liked about being at the game, too, was that they've got, you know, they've got the DJ there who's playing in between sets or in between. I don't know what the word is for that I'm looking for, but it was a great vibe. There's a lot of music. There's a lot of fun times. It's not overpowering like it would be, I think, and I've seen another professional team has like the DJ play nonstop, which is almost a little bit too much, but it's great. But what is it, since you've been able to travel throughout this first year, now you do have two more home games coming up, May 1st and May 6th at the Lee's Family Forum. We like to call it the LFF around here. So you've got two more home games, but since you've been out on the road, you've seen some of the other places, how does the LFF compare to the other places that these teams are playing? I haven't been able to catch other games to see what their facilities are like, but do you feel pretty proud of what you guys have got there?
There's no question. Every other team and every other coach walks in and says, this is the best in the league.
Wow.
You know, there's some bigger venues. Omaha plays in it, and the CHI Center, which is, I think it seats like 19,000. And they have huge crowds. But our venue is the newest, the nicest, and it's the perfect arena for acoustics. It's the perfect arena in terms of the floor and the setup for the fans to be close enough to the action, yet far enough to not get hit with the ball. That's important as well.
That's important, yeah.
Yep. So it is absolutely the best arena. And I'm not just saying it. Truly, every coach has walked in and said, you guys have the best in the league.
It's Vegas. We better be.
That's nice to hear. That's good to hear.
Right.
Yeah. That's great to hear. So you guys are part of the Pro Volleyball Federation. That's the league. Mm-hmm. You've got seven teams right now this year. But I heard from a little birdie that I was sitting at the game, that there's some more teams coming. Can you give us a little insight as to the expansion of this league for next season?
Well, we're going to add three more teams. And, you know, it'll be Dallas, Indy, and Kansas City are adding. The hard part for us is we need a few more on the west side, right? It's us and San Diego over here, and then Omaha's Midwest, and the rest of everybody is kind of over.
Oh, wow.
Kansas City will be an add. You know, we play on Friday in San Diego and then Sunday in Atlanta this week. So that's a long trip across on Saturday to get ready to play an early match at 2:00 Eastern time in Atlanta. And that matches on CBS Sports, actually. So
that'll
be, yeah. So we're getting some great exposure, but the league is going to continue to grow. We have some great owners, and, you know, I think there's more teams kind of, they say, in the hopper, if you will, that are kind of waiting to be approved to join us. So I think there'll be some more cities. I don't know how far they'll go. Initially, they were like, we'll go 24 and have two 12-team divisions.
Wow.
But I think that's a little bit hopeful at this point. We'll see. We're just starting. We can't get too big too fast.
Yeah.
But speaking of just starting, I read a little piece on the Federation's page and in regards to salaries. We're not going to mention numbers, but we all know the hypocrisy around the WNBA and their salaries versus men, or the percentage they're getting, or how their salaries should be higher. What I read was that your guys' professional volleyball league has I won't say the same, but a similar or close to starting point that these ladies in the WNBA are making. So the fact that the professional volleyball is making like about the same amount of money to start with is just, that's huge as a new league. This took the WNBA how many years? They're on almost season 28. So, I mean, I applaud whoever started this league and is growing it, because they're clearly doing it with those athletes in mind too. So amazing. Yeah.
And you know, they started a different model. So everybody on the team is paid the exact same amount. And then next year, the salaries are going to get a big bump, and they'll have like the starting, we have six positions, really seven with the libero, who's the person that runs around with a different color jersey, for those that don't understand that.
Yeah.
And so they're really kind of seven starters. So you got to go two deep in each spot. So there's a 14-person roster. It will be tiered next year for the first time. And the salaries are increasing significantly for the starting seven. It's going to be incredible.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah. How does it go for, I mean, I know there was a draft for this season.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, how the drafting process looks like.
How does the drafting process go? Is there like one of those, you know, since it's already been a season now with those three new franchises, they're going to be like, you know, the new franchise draft, or they're getting to pick players off other teams, or is it just going to be going off of a pool? I'm sure there's got to be like a tremendous amount of women that have interest in the volleyball league that maybe couldn't make it through the seven teams, and it's nice that there's some more spots.
Yeah, absolutely. And so initially you can choose any professional player and sign them to your roster. We got a little late start. I don't think people understand that Ruben Herrera and his staff put this whole franchise together in 90 days for a professional team to be formed. It was pretty crazy. So players, infrastructure, everything. I mean, I don't know anybody else that could have done it. Pretty amazing. Anyway, so we grabbed as many players as we could. The draft is actually a college draft. So we have five rounds and they're all college players that we draft. That'll be held next December at the end of their college career, presumably, although there are some draft eligible early graduates that could play as well. But the other players, we're re-signing now. We're choosing right now to sign. They can sign now with the league. And then at the end of May, we'll be able to actually start signing people directly to our individual franchises.
Teams. Gotcha. So,
And
then how does that structure, if they do sign with the league, what does that structure look like? Are they signed to the league for so many years, or is it year by year they have to sign with the league contract to get?
You're signing for the year. And with the thought that somebody will pick you up, and I'm sure that somebody will pick them up. So they just secure their employment to say, I'm going to play in Pro Volleyball Federation next year in 2025.
Gotcha.
And then that makes them eligible for us as team owners and GMs and coaches to say, here's who we want out of that group. And then it's a bit of a bartering system and a little bit of a little
I was gonna say, like, is there like a waiver wire? Like, is there like a snake fee that you get to like go in order to be picking, or is it just kind of like a free for all and they pick where they want to go?
Initially, in May, it's gonna be a free for all, and all the head coaches are like, we need some type of order to this. This is gonna be total chaos.
Yeah.
But hey, it's a startup, and we're doing the best we can to begin. So, you know, it everything's been fast, everything's been crazy, and you know, that'll be just one more step for us. And we've made it through the rest. We'll make it through that and we'll put a great team together.
So for now, college is the only funnel to get into this. Would there be any options for a walk-on, or if there was someone that was just extraordinarily that you're hearing about or anything like that, that you could go and try to have?
Like overseas leagues, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's international leagues all over the world. Like almost every other country has international professional volleyball. We can have two international players on our team. So we have a Canadian and a German this year. That's the limit. The coaches are pushing for one or two more, three or four. But, you know, this league was formed for American women to have a chance to play at home, right? So we don't want to oversaturate that.
Right.
So I think that'll be a slow process. But, we can get anybody. Even if you're not drafted, you can be an undrafted signing. Imani MacArthur, one of our players, was not drafted. And we felt like she could add to our team. And she joined us. And she's part of our roster. And she's trained the whole time and gotten a lot better. So those things can happen, yes.
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome. Very
That's
cool.
great. So when I went to the game, I was thoroughly impressed with Hannah Maddox. I got a video, just a quick little clip of just her serving. I was just getting Michael Jordan vibes, but
she's got hops. Look how high she's up off the court.
The girl takes off. I mean, you know, like everybody has their own serving technique, and sometimes it's kind of like you're tossing it, and you have so much power in the palm of your hand, you're not even really moving. You're just kind of like whoops, and it's flying over the net. This girl takes off and is going like full. I just, every time she was up serving, I was like, I just stuck staring at her. Like it was just, it was really amazing.
She's a great success story because she was a college player. We drafted her out of the University of South Alabama. Not a huge volleyball program. And fun fact, she grew up across the street from one of my former teammates at University of Texas in Austin. And she kept telling me about this kid. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden her senior year at South Alabama, she took off and I was watching because my teammate had told me. And so I told everybody she's going to be the steal of the draft. And everybody's like, nobody knows who this person is. I said, she's going to be steal of the draft. And sure enough, she is the fan favorite. She's one of our best players. And she's made that a true statement.
She's great. I know Gabby Gonzalez had some amazing plays. She was all over the ball. Is it Kat Bell?
Kat Bell, yes, ma'am.
Yes, she is a force to be reckoned with.
Sounds like we have a squad over there, Mel. Sounds like this is
There is a squad there. And the ladies, you know, like they're right out of college. I think there was the grandparent, you know, Murr's grandparents, who I became little friends with on watching the game. They had mentioned that one of the girls there, I think it's Alicia, she's a mom of three. I won't even mention her age, but she's in her 30s. She's a mother of three. She has her daughters that come to the game. I mean, you're just dealing with women that have been in this for a while, and now they're getting the opportunity to stay here locally, like you said, whether it be, you know, in the United States, or whether it be your city of Vegas or your city of San Diego. And you're able to do this professionally along with having your families and stuff, I think is just...
Yeah, Alicia is truly incredible. Alicia was the center for the 1996 Olympic team. National team. So she played in the Olympics and played a lot overseas after, got married, started having children, and she kind of put her playing career on the back burner. She has a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And so pretty crazy. And now she comes in and has this opportunity. We approached her like, hey, we want you to play. And we didn't know what fitness level, we didn't know anything was going to happen with her. You know, she's coming, she's had 3 children and she's in her mid-30s. But she has been, and I would say out loud and of many coaches, she's the best setter in the league. She's been incredible. She's been an incredible leader for us. Hannah is the fun, spicy person that's everybody going to watch and the excitement. Yeah. But Alicia is really the engine behind our franchise. And she's been incredible.
She's been amazing. We're
really blessed to have her.
Yeah. Shout out to Stephanie chiming in. What a thrill to have Fran on your show. So a little pun on words there. We appreciate it. Before we let you go, Fran, we do want to ask, you know, we don't know how long your coaching career is. You know, you might be Fountain of Youthing it forever, and that's great, because I mean, we can appreciate that. whether it be the next year or next 3 to 5 years, what are your hopes for the league and for your team here with the Throw?
Well, I mean, I think the pathway for Vegas sports is that in the 2 or 3, we're supposed to be winning a championship. Is that not right with everybody that's happening?
I mean, it basically happens.
That is the trend, Fran. Absolutely. Right?
Just don't tell the Raiders that yet. They haven't figured it out.
And I know you have a great camaraderie and friendship with Nikki Vargas because you guys were both coaches at the same time at LSU and stuff. So I know she's been helping you too, like with the encouragement of that winning attitude. And I can understand and appreciate
it. It's champions out here, Fran. We know it's got to happen.
I know. And Nikki is my guiding force. Nikki is going to be, hey, I got to understand what she's doing, because she's doing some great things out here. But hey, I just hope the league can sustain. We've had a few other little leagues that have tried, certainly not to this scope. And, my goal for the league is that we create this and it begins to make money and it becomes an entity that everybody wants to be part of. We have huge investors and it just continues to grow. And for the women, I want those little girls to have the chance to put on a Thrill jersey or a San Diego Mojos or whatever it is. Yeah. I want them to be able to see that you got to see it to be it. Right. And so I want them to understand it, see it, and have a chance. And, you know, I want it to, I'm so hopeful it goes, and, you know, we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure it does.
Awesome. Mo, I don't know if you have anything else, Mo, but I know we've kept you on. Fran, I'm sure you have a slam schedule out there, especially with the road travel coming up. But if you are in Vegas.
So I feel like we need a part two of this, because before people can even get involved with volleyball too, as well as like knowing that it's here and it's a thing, I think they have to understand the fundamentals in the game of volleyball. So we have to have Fran back on to give us and teach our listeners what they're watching, what they're experiencing, the positions, what the play is, scoring, all of that great stuff. And we would love to have you back on again.
Well, I would love to be on. It's been a privilege and an honor to be part of your show. And
as well.
We appreciate what you do for women's sports, for sure.
Thank you.
Awesome. So you guys, if you are in Las Vegas or on your way to Las Vegas, we know there's a couple of big festivals coming. So if you're in town anyway, May 1st, May 6th are the 7 p.m. games for the Vegas Thrill at the Lees Family Forum out there in Green Valley. So make sure, get some tickets, get out there. It's a fun time. Fran, thank you so much. We appreciate you. And we look forward to the rest of this season, as well as the future season, where we can take part in more.
All right, Mo, we're going to see you out on the 1st of the 6th too, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm owed a game. Like, I need to. It's I have to go.
I got you. I got you. Let me know.
Thank you. All right. Sure. Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. I love it.
Fran Flori, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
Fran Flori,
I said, volleyball has always been a huge community thing out here. Like, I had friends that got scholarships to top-notch schools, be it Howard University or Berkeley. It was a sport that was kind of like one of those unspoken things that you knew if you're a volleyball player, you had opportunities for sure. And it was big.
Big time.
Yeah.
Steph, it was very cool. We appreciate having Fran on. If you're in the area, Steph, if you want to try and check out a game, if you haven't been, you got to do it. Let me know. We can maybe try and grab another group here together, because it was a good time. I enjoyed it with a couple of my girlfriends. If you go to the LFF enough to see whether it be hockey or it's volleyball or it's basketball, or you're seeing the arena team, like the way they just change it and set it up is just dope. So it was a great time. Super dope. Shout out to Tony Cardoso, who's also in their marketing team there. So great lineup. I fully enjoyed it. Yeah.
That's great.
So I definitely
will check it out.
Yeah, we'll have to get you in there. All right, so hot topics. We have a lot to talk about, but first we just need to address Reggie getting his Heisman back.
Long overdue. I was happy to wake up this morning to see that news, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because that had been a conversation. I don't know if you saw Johnny Manziel's interview on Club Shay Shay.
With the tweet. Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's been very outspoken and broke that down. And even for what all of Manziel has been through and not even in the league anymore, to stand on business about Reggie Bush deserving his Heisman back. And then to be the ally that he is by setting an example of saying, me and a few other people, we are not going to a Heisman ceremony until Reggie gets his
refusing to do it.
Refusing to participate in it. And we have to discuss that. That is the reason Reggie Bush got his Heisman back, because the NIL deals have been going on. When it started, should have been initiated, never was. And you have someone that was able to be that outspoken to support and defend and say what the wrongs of that were. And for him to get it back is just truly amazing. And if you notice in that photo that you posted, to the left is attorney Benjamin Crump. So you know you can't go wrong. You got him on your side.
He's gonna get it to you.
We're gonna make sure that this is gonna be a standing thing and there's no curveballs thrown after this.
I mean, like it was mentioned, like once those NIL deals really became announced, like this should have been taken care of. Because Johnny Manziel is about to say, no, I'm not gonna accept a Heisman Trophy until this happens. Now we're seeing it, like this should have been eradicated from the get-go.
Yeah, but shout out to him.
But it has been. It has been now. So we'll let him, you know, we're happy for Reggie that he has it back.
I think it's just pretty heavy that had to be a, you know, thing. I mean, the guy was a top-notch player at USC and we'd all been saying, you know, he needs his Heisman back. Every time I watch a year of Heisman Awards, it's like, Reggie Bush needs to be in this conversation.
Every time.
And it's every like time. Snoop Dogg said, I would have been like, you have to come find me. I'm not giving nothing.
Right. Why am I forfeiting it for not? Come grab it.
To do that and go through all of that and the years and years. And then you see it in your face thrown like, oh, now image and likeness is a thing.
Right. Like that was in 2010. Yeah. And the fact, and the crazy thing is that the benefits he was getting had no effect on him on the field, like not playing abilities. So, you know, but you know who runs those Heisman things is, you know, what.
And that's why I said it takes an ally for someone like Johnny Manziel to have these interviews, to be outspoken, to be at the front of it. It's very significant.
To stick it up.
Yeah. Because when somebody that looks like you ain't with it, then that's a problem. And they're like, oh, well, we better fix that.
That's the problem right there. Yeah. So in case you missed the beginning of the show, just to remind everybody, I don't think it worked out for this show, but they'll probably replay it. We're going to be available on the Fuel Sports Network. They're able to be streamed on your Roku or your Amazon Fire Stick. So if I know everybody in life has one or the other, you're able to not have to log in on your phone or your computers, but you can check us out on the big screen of your TV for our live shows. So make sure you tap into that, and shout out to Arlington Lane for that too. Appreciate him thinking of us, because everybody loves some good ladies sports talk. You know what I mean?
Right.
Hello. That part. That's we also want to give a big happy birthday to the WNBA. Today is the exact date in 1996 where the WNBA was founded, and then they began playing in 1997. So the league, man, 28 years, 28th season, I think, is coming up.
And continue to grow.
So. And continue to grow. And continue to grow.
And look at all we the don't have a lot that are coming into this season.
Right. There's a lot to cover today. I have Hugo Doris, but they're kind of long. But I'll just mention, like, you know, Bad Bunny's Rima Sports agency, they got fined, or they're about to be like fined like $400,000 because they were apparently one of the agents was trying to like pay cash or gifts to players to switch to them prior to like them starting back in like April or May last year. So it's kind of a crazy situation, kind of wild. We'll see what happens, but yeah, they may also not be able to have any further agents certified with their agency because of this. So that's crazy. We also had a member, a player for the CFL, Sean Lemon. He had played in the NFL for a little bit too, but he is suspended indefinitely from the Canadian Football League because he was betting on the league's games, including one that he played in. If this isn't the same story we've heard over and over and over again, but yeah, he actually retired after they won the Grey Cup this year. So maybe he's not going to be playing anymore, but just in case, he won't be playing at all. We got to get into some Vegas sports. I know the Golden Knights are playing right now. So I know that, you know, if you are at a watch party, if you are at the game, I know it's at the end of the first. So maybe some of y'all will tap in with us for a little bit during the intermission. We are tied 1-1, the Golden Knights and the Stars. Of course, the Golden Knights took over game one in Dallas. Mark Stone came back at the Capitan and hit that goal under like 2 minutes of the first round. It was amazing. It was just, the greatest game you could have. I think it was.
It definitely set a tone, especially for a Dallas Stars team that's like, what, played 54 games and one of the top people in the West.
Yeah, they're the top in the West. So it's hard, you know. I mean, it's great. It is great. I know that the official viewing party tonight, again, is at the LFF in Henderson. I went on Monday to, of course, my favorite spot, the Circa Stadium Swim, which is like one of the best places to watch an official watch party. So I want to just show a glimpse of that for the people out there in case next time there's an opportunity to watch hockey or live sports, period, you got to make it to Stadium Swim. Yeah, you got chants, you got the cheerleaders, you got the drummers, the drum bots, you've got the night. I mean, there's giveaways. I think, where's my towel? Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
You get, obviously, the dope towels. So
you need to explain how that works. Is that an open to the public thing? Do they have to pay?
Open to the public. So what happens, of course, Stadium Swim's open all day. They're open from like 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. every day, and you can go there whenever. I think usually it's like $25 general admission. But on the nights where they have the official Golden Knights viewing parties, at 5:30 they start. You can come in. If you have anything VGK on, whether it could just be a hat, just be a t-shirt, just be some shorts, or who knows, whatever you got that's just as long as it's VGK of one thing on, you're in for free. They usually have the free towels, free sunglasses. There's a little QR code you scan when you walk in. That puts you in the drawing. They give away usually like a stick. They give away a signed jersey, and then they give away usually two tickets for the following game where, you know, the following home game. So like on Monday, someone got two tickets for the game on Saturday night here. So you can't be free. I suggest if you do go, you go right there at 5:30 when they start letting people in, because that's when the pool crowd is starting to leave. So you're getting open chairs. If you go there right at 7, usually the pool crowd is gone and it's all VGK people, and they're there waiting for the entire game to happen. Nice. So yeah, good times.
Very cool.
Can't beat it. Shout out to B Sal. We saw Brian Salmon there, of course, News 3 sports anchor, who was covering the stuff, covering it as well. But yeah, good times. Good times. Las Vegas Aces. I don't know if you were, the Rebel jersey pre-sale happened, started yesterday. So you can officially, for those that were complaining about no more red, you can officially go to the Aces website and you can pre-order is the key word, your Rebel Nike jerseys for the Aces. I actually kind of like these because the gold is out of it. And, you know, I'm not a huge gold fan, but the, you know, we got the red back. They have all the players that were rostered. And yeah, it's going to be a good look.
Yeah, it is. I like those.
It is. They also posted pictures of Kate Martin as well. Yeah. As Megan, their former Iowa teammates there, getting a couple sessions in at the practice facility. So that was good. Good to see them there. Kelsey Plum's dog class. Okay. It ended this weekend. It was dope. It had all the guards, some that got drafted, some that are still in college. Great times. They had great highlight reels. But this bottom picture, they held puppies or had puppies walking around while they were playing, while they were doing yoga. So they had yoga with puppies. I'm sorry.
Sign me up. I do yoga with a cute puppy around me.
I mean, it would help me get to wherever I had to go if I knew that there was any puppies there. Like, I would be more apt to working out if there were puppies.
I'm playing with puppies. I'm trying to see the dogs and seeing if I can have one.
Listen, the videos were so cute. There were puppies everywhere. It was really amazing. So really dope. We also want to touch on, of course, the big news that broke in regards to Kelsey Plum and Darren Wall's split, to filing for a divorce. Kelsey did post that message on her social media. Walk through fire for this man, but now I've seen it's time to go. God has given me an incredible life, and I'm truly grateful for the profound love for my family and friends. One day I'll share my story. Today is not that day. Thank you for grace to process my pain, to forgive and move forward today and every day. I will continue to keep joy. Much KP. So, I mean, I know they were. I mean, they're great looking people, period. Yeah. I told you that.
They didn't pass the vibe check. Great looking couple. We've had the connection and the vibe check.
We've had the discussion for a while, and you've called it from the beginning. And you know, it's sad that it has to go to this, but you know,
it is. It's unfortunate. It's not even me being a hater, because I mean, I got to know Darren Waller, and that's the best chance I can ever get, and I'm never taking that away. Plus, we've had interviews with KP, and we talked to her personally, and she's a wonderful person.
Wonderful person. And she deserves the best.
She's like one of my favorite players, and you would hate to see.
Hello, she is a dog, literally. Like, that's my husky
there.
There
you go. So that's crazy.
Yeah, but like, it was just weird because, you know, both of us follow them on social media. Our girl chat follows them. So when we're watching it, once the WNBA season finished off, we're thinking like, okay, Kelsey's in New York. She's going to be doing like games and hanging with the husband. Didn't really see that. And then his season ends, and I'm thinking, well, maybe they'll do like some big vacation. They're off for a month or whatnot, because, hey, both off season, nothing. You know, she's on beach trips and she's at the UFC fights and she's got commercials, and he was an RV on like a little retreat.
So. Like, he's going to Joshua Tree. I don't know. But the thing of it is even when he got hurt, there was no post of her like, hey, my baby got hurt during the game where I'm nursing him. None of that. No rings.
We ain't seen no rings on anything.
You're on podcasts. You're at UFC fights, Kelsey. You're doing this. You're doing that. No rings. Darren Wall, you're rapping in the studio. You're having your friends around. All this guy club. No ring. Like, it's just strange to me in a first year of a marriage where the honeymoon phase is about you two interlinking all the time. And you just didn't see it. And like I said, the vibe was just a little off, sadly, on that. To me, quite honestly, I don't want to hear the story. Because if you wanted to tell the story, you just tell the story. You could have easily just said,
she couldn't need time for whatever. I mean, we don't know what did or did not happen. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's look at the climate we live in. Look at the people that like stay tuned to TMZ and World Star and everything. They're going to want to know. Everybody's going to want to know.
Exactly, it's just more so. Right. But I think that message goes without saying. Like we know that there is a story. We already know that. It's indicative. There's a reason why people get divorced. What happened?
But maybe we don't know her story.
Yeah. But I honestly don't know
the whys. We could all guess and assume it could be several factors that are the top three or four of divorces. Can, but
what I'm saying is in that statement, she didn't have to say, I'll tell my story later. We knew.
Well, maybe she said that so people aren't hitting her up like, yo, we need you on our show to talk about divorce. Or, hey, we need to, I mean, she didn't give me my space.
Respect my privacy at this time. It did not work. You know, it was a thing that we were going to do and that's it. Yeah. Done deal. Because he said nothing.
This is the way she wanted to say it. This is the way she wanted to say it.
Sandra Cusino, shout out to her yesterday about it. She's like, well, now we want the story. Before it could have been a thing like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she alluded to douche moves. She put up this, like, it's just, it's enough. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess.
If we ever hear
what's up, Donnell? Tell the story. I get it.
Yeah, tell the story. If not, nah, I don't want to hear it.
But you know, I mean, I've had so many guys in my DM like, oh, I'm about jumping KPs. Oh, it's done. Oh, it's official. I'm like, oh my God, I don't.
Well, yeah, I saw that too. But at the same time, again, if you're gonna say I tell my story, like, eh, you don't need to. It's over. It's fine.
But she will, and people will listen. So that is what it is.
She may never. She may never. We may be 10 years from now and it'd be like Kelsey Plum documentary. Now what happened to the marriage? By that time, it's like, oh, they didn't
move. I'm still listening. I've been a Kelsey Plum fan. I'm a Husky. We share a connection. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Exactly. And I agree with Goose. Exactly. Tell the
story.
Hey,
Amanda.
You don't have to beef it up.
You don't have to do that.
You didn't have to go there. He ain't saying nothing. No. Over, it's done.
Okay. Well, we'll move on.
Grand opening, grand closing.
Grand opening. Let's talk about the little tidbit of, I know I posted in the chat. We had like a whole full like 2 minute video. This is like 20, 30 seconds. It was Kelsey Plum, Asia Wilson for the Target Princess pickleball line. Hilarious.
I went outside of Target and I saw this pickleball tournament. I never say no to parking lot pickleball.
Pickleball? I didn't even know Kelsey played.
Having Kelsey on my team was huge. She's a two-time WNBA champion.
When I first saw her come on the court, I thought, wow, she's stronger than all of us, fitter than all of us. So that was not great.
She's always involved in stuff, but I'm here to support her no matter what.
She has a cannon for an arm.
I was here to win another championship.
I knew she was going to slay. There's nothing she can't do.
The pickleball kills me. It's taking over. There's gonna be some professional pickleball leagues coming out here soon.
People getting hurt off that pickleball, man. What's up with them injuries, man? I'm injuries
because you gotta know your age and your ability.
Yeah, you know? I know
I can't be out there. My ankle's not bad. I'm not good enough. So I'd have to
fuzzy ball. If I can't chase a fuzzy ball in tennis, let alone I'm not doing table tennis will do. Ping pong rally song. I'm good with that.
Ping pong rally song.
That's enough. I'm not about chasing no ball.
Oh man.
Yeah, these old people are getting hurt. COVID is over. It's some serious stuff out there. I'm sorry. They be real with it.
They be so competitive. There's like some leagues in the community area that I live in. I just be like, oh,
they can have it.
And then they be charging like $40 for a lesson. I'm like, a lesson in pickleball? I feel like I played that in elementary school once or twice. I mean,
I've never heard of it. So I probably would entertain the lesson, but I'm not physically ready for the lesson or the game.
I just feel it's a smaller tennis. So you just got to be better with your, it's like a cross between tennis and paddle. What is it? The paddle pick, not the, what's the little table tennis, the table tennis game? I don't know.
But they I've seen because Dan has pickleball, so I'm not playing with him. You play with him. I'll watch.
Let's get a game set up.
And just be like,
listen, tell Dan pickleball and puppies. Like that's.
Oh, that's a cute.
I know. That'll bring them out. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Hey, moving on to the Aviators. Listen, Mo, I got you a Finn the Bat Dog jersey.
No, you didn't.
I did because I love you. It was Finn's last. Listen, when I tell you they went all out for Finn, the jerseys were probably some of the best that I've gotten from them for the freebies. Finn was everywhere. We got pictures. I actually got selfies with him.
Shout out to RJ for throwing me up on there.
But they had like a whole 2-minute video on the big screen with like, I will always love, I can't remember what song it was specifically, but it was like, so almost like it, I felt like he died the way that we were honoring him, but it was so nice. Like his trainer was kind of crying during some of the speech. It was really dope. Here's just a quick, this was Finn throughout the first pitch for the game. It was so cute. Oh. It was so, so cute. Oh, I loved it.
It's like a Jersey retirement thing, you know? Like,
I know. So, yeah, I got you a Finn jersey. Just well, remind
thank you, because I wasn't sure if you made it to that or not. Because I was like, wait, did she even go to the theaters?
Listen, I was about to just buy any cheap ticket, go get the jersey and walk out. But then shout out to my girl, Cynthia. She came, Natalie came. So it ended up being more than just a couple, you know, just me. But if it was myself, I probably would have walked in, had a drink and left. But it was a good, people were lined up by like 5 o'clock. The game started.
Sure.
Yeah. Steph asked, are they replacing him? They didn't mention it, but I know I've seen 2 dogs in the field like last year. So I'm not sure if they'll be like a runner up or the next. But as of right now, Finn is enjoying pool time and chasing balls outside.
Being a dog.
But he was so good at it. That trainer
was. He really was. He was dreaming in bath, buddy.
I know.
Man.
I know.
With that action. For real.
Aviators got their schedule up. They got a double header next Wednesday. Of course, beer night. They've got a hat giveaway next Friday. So obviously, keep on staying tuned with the Aviators. Town Square has the Tiger Woods new Pop Stroke miniature golf. I guess it's like 2 18-hole putting courses. I read some of the reviews. It's only $35 for the whole day for locals. So you could literally be there all day and play for $35. However, when I saw some of the pictures, there's like absolutely no shade.
Ask you, it looks like there's no room for shade. So what time is tea time for this? Does it open at 6 a.m.? Because I can come at 6 to 8.
Listen, wow. The fact that we're coming up on the hottest, like you open up right before the hottest months of our city, unless you've got a portable misters that you can carry or mister hats, I don't see that. Like that's a,
and you know, at 5 a.m.
Turf be hot in the summertime too.
Open at 5 a.m. or 6. I need something to.
You're gonna need like the midnight.
I'm seeing beautiful landscaping, but I see no room for shade whatsoever.
The midnight pop stroke is what's gonna have to happen. They're gonna have to like a midnight session. That's what we're gonna go
with great lighting and just get that. Yeah.
I was just hoping they'd have like a pool, like, you know, Top Golf does. Like, I'm always down for a new pool location, but that would at least be one reason to be able to like go there. You can cool off in the pool. However, this, I don't think managed that, but
you can walk out
it
pool,
did open. So if you are in
your first hole and can't play it because you're already dry and hot.
If you want to get out there, I would do it like tomorrow or Thursday when we dip back down into like the high 60s, 70 degrees, because after next week, I think that's the last we're going to see of anything under the high 80s. So get out while you can.
Yeah, for real.
Shout out to our girl Edith, who's always giving us some good stuff. She had shared this story with us in our group, that UNLV Sports Career Initiative, they got a $1 million donation that's going to fund their career development for women in sports. The Diana Bennett Career Development Program for Women's Sports will be providing internship programming, resume building, career professional development, and a variety of networking and job experience initiatives. Part of the Rebel Up campaign to ensure student athletes have tools and supports needed to make the most of the opportunities that they are given and ensure a lasting career in the field of choice, not only as athletes, but as professionals. So at first I thought this was like for any, these are specifically for those women in sports and to help them gauge their time after college. So
to look at other options.
I think it's
awesome.
Thank you to whoever that $1 million funder was, because you know she was all about women, because if she was like, nope, I want this mill to go for women in sports.
And when do you see endowments like that, especially for UNLV? They usually are catered to the business side of hotel, you know, all of that, hospitality management groups, or the Rebel basketball team or football or something like that. Golf even gets a check every once in a while, but you never see anything like this.
And I think that's just dope, the Rebel Up campaign. Because I remember I was getting emails for those, like, you know, you could donate and then you could get like free play at like the Palms or something like that. But $1 million donation,
yeah,
like, and for women's sports?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. That's what I'm talking about. So that was big, big time. Since it is WNBA's birthday, we got to give you some WNBA news. With much pleasure, it is to announce that the Dallas Wings and the Dream both sell out of their season tickets as well this season.
I saw that yesterday and I loved it.
I loved it. I mean, hello.
Good.
Let's get everybody to sell out. But that's dope. Season hasn't even started yet. We've got three sold out. I think possibly a fourth. You've got a couple or a few that have had to move into bigger venues because of certain games, expanding the viewership, expanding the numbers.
Yeah.
Big time. We also got to see that Caitlin and Aaliyah are at practice together.
Yeah, that was great.
But dope to see them together. Hey, Sue Bird, officially part of the Seattle Storm's ownership group, which is really great. I mean, come on, 19 years there. Of course, she's going to become part of the ownership group, right? Like,
that only makes sense. That sounds about right.
Like, where would else would she go?
Like, that's not a surprise. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, I'm not surprised.
She's doing it because not every player is going to go back into it and be putting their own funds into it. So that's great. I forgot to get the pictures, but Seattle also completed their practice facility, the Storm's practice facility. Yeah. Is beautiful. And I'm not saying that in comparison to the Aces. I'm just saying because, you know, Seattle, because there is a lot of great light in the summertime, because summers in Seattle are beautiful. They have all this natural light that flows into all the areas of the practice facility. It was just really beautiful.
Seattle too. I get it. Mm-hmm.
No, I love the Aces facility too. It just, but it's, you know, you don't have a whole lot of, there's no natural light in there really because... No. We're in Vegas and it's hot and they want all the shade they can.
But I did see that facility and they've got some great, great looks to that. And like you said, to the lighting, to everything. And even the features that they have for the women, just the amenities alone are just kind of really
and
stellar.
Being built by women. The constructors were women. The architects were women. So yeah, it's big time. Yeah. Natalie shared
Prince, let's go.
Epiphany. Yeah. So imagine you retire one day, the next day you're hired as the director. So Epiphany Prince retired after a 14-year career. She was in Vegas for a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. One day later, the Liberty scoop her up as the director of player and community relations. She is from Brooklyn. So for her to be staying in Brooklyn for work is pretty sick.
That's
for her.
Great.
So
that's pretty dope. That's a dream.
Yeah, I like that. Those are the kind of stories you gotta love, you know?
Right.
Gotta love those. Gotta love these too. Dallas Wings, who just sold out season tickets, are getting to move from Arlington into actual downtown Dallas at the Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in Dallas Memorial Arena. So they just got renovated. And so in 2026, they'll be playing there. So, I mean, that's the thing that people forget too. When you go to, I'm sure Cowboys fans know this. When you go to Dallas, you got to drive a while to get to the stadium. Like, it's not some simple in and out. You can come to the city, catch it, you know. So for them to actually not have to be playing in Arlington and be playing in the city, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We got to give it up for the two Ben's girls out here. Flauge and Angel Reese both took to social media to show off their new cars,
G550 AMG Mercedes G-Wagons.
Tell us, like, Vegas Auto Gallery. Come on, Mo.
We love it. You know, you can't go wrong with the G-Wagon. I think that's one of the best luxurious sports utility vehicles. And for them to be so young and have that, it's just
young. Angel made it to Chicago.
That wasn't even league. These are NIL money.
This is all NIL money.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what that looks like. So, yeah, G-Wagon activated for real. I like them. Beautiful colorways on them, you know. Get your G-Wagon on. They just announced the G-Wagon electric car. They just had a celebrity party with Tracee Ellis Ross and a few other people out of LA, big names, to reveal this G-Wagon. So that's the vehicle you want, man. You got that bread. That's it.
I love it. I love it.
Good for the girls. And not to mention, Angel Reese's jersey did sell out. So let's add her to the list.
Absolutely. Jerseys. Because it didn't, I think they didn't have it initially because they didn't know what her number she was going to be. So once they got the number, they got started that manufacturing, which is dope. So, shout out to the Jersey Kings show. Looks like they're also over there on the Fuel Sports Network. I love it.
Yeah, welcome. I love it. Thank you.
Jersey appreciate Kings. You checking us out. I appreciate it.
That's what's up. Check out Jersey Kings show on the network. Yes.
Oh, so we asked, can our aces, our aces, okay, our aces can definitely three-peat. And that's
absolutely.
Yeah. And he also asked about Angel Reese's impact. I think we've addressed that in previous shows. So if you check previous shows, but Angel will definitely have an impact. But, you know, the sky ain't going to be winning the championship this year. Let's just put it that way.
No, but they'll have a new name for her. She doesn't want to be Bayou Barbie. She wants to be a new name, but let's see what her game looks like.
I think it's Chi-Town Barbie, she said. I think she went with Chi-Town Barbie, which I wasn't my favorite, but I think there were, were some better ones out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes, definitely, Goose. We will three-peat. We will not lose.
Absolutely. Jay-Z. So speaking of the WME fans, I had seen part of this and then you sent it to me too. And I just want some clarification for like Donnell and for, you know, Goose, any of the guys out there in the chat or watch this later on, leave us a comment. You know, Michelle Obama's brother was on the All the Smoke podcast and mentioned that the number one demographic that's attending the WNBA games is Black males.
And I'm not going through the lens of just seeing what we see at the Aces game, but I do believe that to be true.
Do you?
Yeah.
I just
the simple fact of those that what he cited. You've got people that are in the love of basketball that take their children. The tickets are inexpensive. You still want to see some basketball. And I'm talking about the people that don't watch football, that are not into baseball, but are strictly basketball guys.
Just basketball.
What I'm looking at in the guise of that. And so I'm not too surprised by that answer.
With the largest demographic, I'm a little surprised. I think what I see at the Aces games. I know what I see when I'm watching WA games in other facilities. Like when they span the crowd, I don't see as that being the dominant.
I mean, you're not seeing the whole crowd either. You're only seeing snippets, so we only see the bites of what we see. And again, I'm not looking at the lens of just the Aces. You've got the Washington Mystics and that demographic in DC and Maryland and all those. Predominantly Black areas. If you have the Barclays or if you have even going to Chicago Sky, again, Black demographics are a little higher than most. So, and even if you go to Dallas or ATL, prime example, I don't see that being a bad
love
answer.
It.
And I like that Matt Barnes was on cue with me because I'm thinking more LGBTQ+. Yes, same. I thought I'd see that more so as the thing, but I'm not surprised by this. I'm not surprised by that answer. I wasn't taken back and I didn't feel like, oh, wow. Because I've always stressed that more women need to come to these games, right? We don't see enough women.
And we don't see enough women.
So we don't and see enough women. So it makes sense that the males are, shout out to
and hopefully we will be seeing more women that come to these games.
Exactly. So we always stress that.
Get a friend
that. So
to get a friend. And
why would that be an off? Answer.
It's not off. I just think it was surprised me just because of what I guess, like you said, like the lens that I have. That's all.
Well, we're only in a limited lens, but you got to look at the grand scheme. The
of course.
The Aces. And then you got to mention when Lisa Leslie was playing with the Sparks, there were more men going to those LA games because
there was more fans going to those games back then as well. I mean, that's just
the Black male fan that's a fan of the Lakers is definitely carrying on with that purple and gold, the colorway. And again, we're targeting the men possibly that are strictly into basketball and don't sway off of anything else. Maybe
Donnell said, talk about you got the male equivalent to groupies.
It is a real thing. I agree. Listen, shout out. And I believe it. Like I was not surprised by that. And think about the men that are in the career of being Black male coaches in college, high school.
Absolutely.
You're taking
and
your
bringing their, bringing NBA the, bringing game. The team with them. Yeah.
Yeah. So no.
That's good. I love it. Right. Yep. Keep bringing your wife, Jersey the King show.
Yes.
Wife's gone to the game with him. Loves him.
That's what we want. We need the women. If this is women's sports, where are the women? That's what I've been stressing.
We've been saying this since day one. When this before season tickets sold out, before tickets were $100 some, we were saying this when they were like $5 a piece, $10 a piece. So it's nice that it's finally the ball is rolling. But yeah, know that the price has gone up too. It's not going to be a $10 ticket no more to see these women. So,
but it's still an affordable ticket. Come. It ain't a VGK.
Very
ticket.
Affordable. I paid $300. Yes.
And I paid, you know, two I saw as the most going to. Well, I saw $313.
I just think for the new fans are fine with that because they've been paying that for other professional leagues. But for those that have been around for a while, they're like, wait a minute. Oh, well, I've been here since day one when game tickets were $5 or $10. The WNBA has gotten a vast bigger viewership and more exposure. Tickets are more. They got these players that just came off the draft, and they're not seeing like the correlation.
Well, the day ones will pay. That's just what they do. And what the day ones have done is they switched over to season ticket holders, so they already got the value of their dollar.
Well, yeah. Well, they're also selling their tickets too, so that to games because
They all sell their tickets, but they still the dollars went to that. That's fine. But the thing of it is you got you
at least they're getting sold out. That's the
they're
point.
Getting sold out. Sold out. Absolutely. Games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. God, we're so over time. There was another thing I wanted to show. It was Nika Mule, who got drafted by the Seattle Storm, who played for UConn. She's kind of like the new number 10 for Seattle. There was a really great video between her and Gino, head coach at UConn, kind of just exchanging like goodbyes.
That was trending all over everywhere.
Yeah, it was so sweet. So I had that, but it's like a whole like 2 minutes. I have like a minute of it cut up, but it's just, you know, we don't need to. Yeah, it was just nice. So I'll post it. Maybe I'll post it to the group or something and let that go on. Yeah. We've got the NBA playoffs are currently going on. I know I know there's been some trouble for your Lakers so far in the first couple games.
Trouble. Well, this is expected. Whoever thought that there was no expectation. Listen, we have not won against the Nuggets this whole season. When it was 40,000 point night for LeBron James, we did not win that game against the Nuggets, and that was a home game. When it was a Kobe night of revealing the statue, that was a Nuggets game. We did not win. So when a lot of people were saying, you know, Lakers should have probably tanked our
during the
play-in game because you got to face Denver. Well, you got to face Denver originally. I mean, anyway, it's the inevitable.
At some point.
But they are the reigning championship team. What are we not knowing about this? That game two was
But there's the Laker fans that are just like the Dallas fans that want, you know, every year is their year.
After blowing a 20-point lead, our Lakers don't deserve it. How do you go up 20 points and then you lose like that? Like, you don't deserve it. So I had been telling you this, and I've been telling everybody else, I'll be happy if a gentleman's sweep happens where we win one game, which might be Thursday's game. We'll win that game, but then the rest is history. We may be able to take a game at home. We may, but we haven't won a game against them. We're 0-9 against these guys. What were we expecting? You know, so.
Steph understands. She's there with you.
I said, you know, you blow a 20-point lead, we deserve what we get. You know, going in, going out. And people thought that they would have a chance, and there always is a chance, but because LeBron is the face of the league, you want to see the ratings, and you want to see him.
AD's been having a great season.
You're not beating Denver. Let's just be real with ourselves. We're not beating Denver. If we can't beat them in a regular season, we're not beating Denver in a postseason. They are activated. They are on. Jamal Murray is that guy. Don't ever dismiss his threes because they are lethal and leave him open. LeBron, you need to stop pushing off and stop trying to take three-point shots you know aren't going to go in, wasting time on the clock. Like, all of this is the things that contributed to it. And to Anthony Davis' point, what happened in game two? Jamal Murray shot a three. That's basically what happened. Right. And we lost a 20-point lead.
Yeah.
Good luck. I'm watching tomorrow, but I hope that's the win night because we've been talking so much mess about the Lakers that they hear us. But after that, it's donezo.
There's the exit for the Lakers in the first round. It's Donnell said blaming the refs is lame.
It's lame.
Yeah, because you were up by 20.
That was very lame. What the Knicks and Philly went through was justifiable, definitely justifiable grievances, what Philly was going through. I watched that game. But for LeBron to piggyback off of that was just some BS, and I wasn't buying it. You lost a 20-point lead, sir. Talk about that.
What's up, Sports Life Talk out in Texas?
Yeah, what's up, everybody that's chiming in? I'm sorry.
Arlington, I am sorry you missed it. We already talked about the KP news, so you'll have to just rewatch or when you maybe post later on. But yeah, we've discussed that. We've moved on from then. But yeah, so playoffs, NBA playoffs, you've got, I don't know what the, who would.
Tonight, if you look, I think it was. And the Bucks, shame on you guys. Shame on
the
you guys.
The Heat beating the Celtics tonight.
Oh, yeah, that was a good game, too. Yeah, that's yeah. Really, and the Pelicans and Thunder are playing right now. Right now, the Thunder is up. I'm not surprised. That's the
Heat
team.
Took one in Boston, which is crazy. The series tied 1-1. You've got OKC that's up 2-0 over the Thunder. They'll probably take, or over the Pelicans, it looks like they'll probably take this one too. You've got the Knicks and 76ers.
Which is a great 2-0. Series, by the way.
Man.
Excellent series. I'm in
that one, that Monday night, I was at the Circa watching the VGK game. We saw this game as well as the Lakers game second. I think it was like back-to-back was just crazy. The madness of Monday.
I think Cavs and Magic. I mean, I see a sweep going on with that one. And, you know, with what's going on with the Bucks and the Pacers. The Pacers are that team and can have the Bucks number. They got to be very, very careful with this game because Pacers just came in and handled business last night, and that was not good. So
what about the Suns and the Timberwolves? Like, Timberwolves up to nothing. The Suns haven't
the
really seen.
I don't see the Suns advancing either.
Timberwolves are, man, talk about it.
I don't see the Dallas Mavericks and Clippers match. I am keeping a close watch on because the Clippers did fall short. They won game one. It's a split now because Dallas has now come into their arena and beat them, and now they got to go. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to look. James Harden, and Kawhi Leonard is low managing. He's still on his,
like he played last night and they lose. Like,
well, he wasn't fully healthy. Like, he's playing on limited time. He's on borrowed time. I mean, they need Kawhi to win this. If they don't have him, then forget it. I think that they're a wrap too. I don't want to see another LA team advance if it ain't us.
Yeah, so they
can't stop a soul. I mean, did we think? I mean, honestly, when Kevin Durant went over to the Suns, did we think that this was going to be that prime thing that they would get?
I think people were hoping. Well, you know, Phoenix is in a sense of despair right now. They just lost their hockey team. They're hoping that they can get something out of their
basketball. And I saw the welcome to Utah.
Isn't that great? I'm just saying, Salt Lake came out.
Salt Lake City Housewives of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, Salt Lake came out for them. So
yeah, they did. But I don't know. I think these young Titos with no names that just want to play and are balling hard.
Balling like crazy.
We're seeing the evidence of that with the Pacers team. We're seeing that evidence with OKC. We're seeing that evidence with the Minnesota team. Like, they don't care. They do not care who you are. We're going to win. We're going to stomp all over you. So.
And I love that. They're not taking no load management breaks.
No,
they don't care if you're a star.
They don't care if you're a star.
They're done.
Done. What are we talking about?
Oh man.
The Lakers
so
lose
much,
tomorrow.
So
I'm not watching the rest of that series. I'm done. I'm gonna tap on out. But if they win, we know we got another game. I'm gonna watch that one again and then whatever. But okay. I think it's one game and out.
Sports Life Talk mentioned the revenge tour. Hey, listen, we're up 1-0, tied 1-1 right now in the second period. So we're gonna see about this revenge tour. It might just be, you know, our captain's back and, you know, we're all back in motion. So go Knights, go.
I'm just happy they even made it into the playoffs and Stoney was able to come back because they didn't know it was a problem.
Absolutely.
For us,
absolutely. Absolutely.
We needed that. Yeah.
All right. It is officially the NFL draft tomorrow. Yes. Starts at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And here is your first round draft order. Many are projecting some trading happening when the draft starts as regards to positioning. There's been talk about the Raiders moving up, the Giants moving up.
Yeah, the Raiders
Patriots.
Moving up smart. We need that. And they're predicting who's going to go to where. You know, they got Michael Penix for us on our 13th pick. If we move up to number two, we want Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels and Antonio Pierce have a history being in Arizona. They both were together. I mean,
this guy is
the Heisman guy. This is the welcome. But I don't think we're going to get him. I was hoping. I'm praying tonight. I'm praying to the football gods that we can do.
I mean, I hope y'all don't take him at 13 because I would love to have MPJ, Michael Penix Jr. with the Seahawks.
Well, if we don't get Jaden Daniels, we are taking Michael Penix Jr. That's the thing.
Well, unless the Seahawks. Here, listen. This is the first year we don't have Pete Carroll in the draft room. So what will Mike McDonald do differently? Because, you know, Pete Carroll is notorious for giving away our first round draft pick and getting like three or five or six drafts picks later on throughout the draft. So maybe Mike McDonald has like the cojones and he's like, I'm going to get the draft and get up higher. Who knows? I don't know.
Case in point also,
Michael Penix Jr. is not getting the credit he deserves. I've seen him as low as like the 27th pick, as high as like a 10th pick, and that's it. And you're putting him, I get the Caleb Williams. I get the Jaden Daniels. I'm still not sure on the Drake May. I don't know about the JJ McCarthy. I just feel like, and like he had an article at the Players Tribune that was like, you know, my injuries have been something. Yes, my injuries. But if you haven't seen someone get better off an injury, how do you know that they even can heal correctly? He also said, you can x-ray me, MRI me all you want, but what you should know is taking an EKG of his heart, because that's where his soul is. This man is ready to play. He's ready to give it all for a team. And I can't wait to see that. That as well.
Draft order. You're looking at some of these teams that already have elite quarterbacks that are set with quarterbacks that don't necessarily need a quarterback.
Well, I mean, no, that's like the Cardinals don't need one. Chargers don't need one. But there's a handful that do. I mean, but the Bears don't need one, and they still want to take Caleb Williams. I mean, they do need one, but don't need one.
Who doesn't want to take Caleb Williams?
I mean, the Vikings still want one. I mean, the Jets just got rid of, you know, it's like everybody could still use a great draft pick. And I mean, because the QB race this season is so stacked.
But I don't know if the Jets are going to pick a QB with Aaron Rodgers in the fold.
I mean, I don't think so. But what happens if Aaron Rodgers lasts for 4 seconds this year? Or
I mean, again, you don't want to bet against Aaron Rodgers. Like, you
never.
Just don't.
But you want to have a backup
by saying we're going to draft you a quarterback. You understand what I'm saying? So I think they're going to be
right. Way. I'm not saying the Jets are drafting. I'm just saying like every team could make the argument that they do need another quarterback. I mean,
some will have 2 and 3, but I don't think they're going to go after that. And you have to understand, these negotiators are always done with owners in the room. The draft has already been set for what we don't know. The conversations have been had during the whole offseason of who they want to get, what they're willing to trade
for. They got the names.
The decisions have already been made. Now, what it is going to be the surprise of what the rate. It's all going to be a surprise to us. The teams are already set.
It'll also be a surprise too for the other teams that didn't realize that, oh, now the Vikings are going to be picking before me because they traded up. So they're going to pick the person maybe we want. It just how it all unfolds.
We'll see. I mean, Jaden Daniels will definitely be that one for us because he understands, you know?
Yep. Goose agrees. The disrespected QB in this draft. JJ McCarthy.
He did win a natty. I mean, he is a beast.
He won the natty, but it's like, you know, I don't know. I have my thoughts on all that, of course.
I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, have issues with him. I don't know.
Yeah, it is what it is. So draft's coming.
That's why I said we don't know. Like, it's going to be a surprise. There's going to be a shocker. 5 o'clock in the evening. X is going to go crazy. Facebook's going to go crazy.
It's going to go wild.
No one knows. They keep posting these mock drafts of the order. I don't think Penix will last to 13. I hope we would get him. I hope we move up. I think our surprise would be go up to number 2.
Listen, if the Raiders get him, I'm happy too. I'd be happy to wear up my purple or my black, you know, Husky gear at an Allegiant Stadium, you know, repping for the Penix. It's dope. I'm excited for a lot of the players, especially the ones from Huskies. Of course, that picture of Caleb who ended up on the same flight as Roma Dunze. It's projected that maybe the Bears take him as their 9th pick, and then you've got the Caleb Williams to a Dunze connection. Roma Dunze is just phenomenal.
And I don't know if his ranking is such a disrespect as that he's still first round. I mean, we've gotten some great talent out of second and third round.
You've gotten great talent out of fifth and sixth round. Like,
is what I'm saying. Like,
absolutely.
Saying.
But Tom Brady didn't come into it being recognized either. But Tom Brady didn't come into it winning like a national championship or making it to a national
time, but he turned out to be one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, all these quarterbacks are the top 5 and 6. Like, those are all the ones that have been showing off their skills
they
in the last
are,
couple
but
years.
Are they going to be that level when they get to
well,
the
we don't, we never know and, that, but that's, know but that's that, what I'm that's saying what is that I'm the saying, disrespect so. Is about the actual draft lineup. I'm not saying that Michael Penix can't show them all out and be like a surprise pick and really show them out later in the season or next season or in 5 years from now when he is a top. I don't know. It's just disrespect as the initial stage of where
the order of what they're trying to say. But that's, you know, that's the talk. It's more politicized than what it is as far as skill set, in my opinion, as far as with it going off the top names. Those are the buzzwords.
Jersey mentioned, would it be crazy if Jim Harbaugh drafts JJ? Well, it's funny because they already mentioned that Jim Harbaugh wants that Michigan. He had the Michigan running back. I think the Chargers are going to try and go after. So,
yeah,
you know, he's going to try and get his Michigan boys at best he can.
Well, they need and you know what? I was just thinking too, with all of this, it's just going to be very interesting how 5 o'clock in the evening just all goes down. And we send shockwaves of people that we thought would pick a quarterback are just going to flip and get some crazy defensive player for.
Yeah.
Like you have,
because there are some great defense. There's a lot of great tackles and edge rushers out there that are
on the defense side too. Let's not sleep on that. And I'm just
saying, I know Seattle needs those picks too, but it's just man,
some people will give it up for the defensive side of it, but we're set on our defense in Raider Nation. We need a quarterback. Like, so I need them to stay focused and keep their foot on the gas with that, but we're set. But you got a lot of those teams that I looked on that list and I'm like, a lot of them need defense too, though. So I don't know. But we will see.
Amon-Ra killed it, of course, to the Lions, and is going to be killing it in his pocketbook because he is now the highest paid wide receiver, 4-year, $120 million extension. He got $77 million guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Ain't that something?
Guaranteed.
Well, I'm rocking that guy though. So,
I've been loving the Lions. Like I told you, ever since they had the Hard Knocks, the Lions have been on fire. We've been seeing some new jerseys getting dropped. The Texans are coming out, bringing back the H for Houston with the blue. Texans already got their stacked team is stacking up. They're doing good. Got new jerseys. Going to be amazing. Now, Denver. They're doing a throwback too. And of course, they're putting the D on the helmet back to the John Elway days. This will be their throwback.
I do like that though.
Yeah. This was back when they were in the AFC, and I hated them too. They actually had another colorway that almost looked like the Cleveland Browns. Like it looked very orange and brown. It just looked really weird. And I think Denver fans were not fond of it. Now, if you want to talk about some fire too, these Black Lions fits, like. One of the guys said, when I put these black jerseys on, I'm in all black forces. I'm all black Air Force One energy all day.
You know what? That's fine. But Raider Nation is the supreme that where it comes to wearing a black. So whatever. That's nice though. It's cute.
It's nice. I like it. I mean, it's a nice look because we're usually seeing them in the blue and the silver or the white.
Absolutely.
Like I think
they're
black.
Yeah, come
the
on black, over to
the black is good.
What that black looks like.
So
black
the Bears also unveiled a possibility of having a new stadium. Now, you know, Soldier Field is literally 100 years old this year. And that's where they play currently is Soldier Field. They got like between a $4 and $5 billion plan that would have a property partially sitting on the lakefront there, as well as this massive, like, $4 and $5 billion. So they're going
to
have
some. You know what? I sent that to people in Chicago that's just upset about the Bears. And, you know, they just kind of like, it's not going to change what we got going on. But it's needed. It's very nice.
It's very needed. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's that money, and they're going to have to get like a good portion of it from public and taxing. So that is what's going to be the problem.
I hate 70 Washington. And they still suck. And that's what my Chicago friends are saying. They still suck. Why would we spend that money? It ain't worth it. Like,
where are we spending that money?
I feel bad, you know, that sucks that they have to have that attitude, but they need it. They do need it. Maybe that'll bring a better energy into the, I don't know.
Careless,
you know, Bears fans, they don't want to talk about it.
They don't. Baseball's going on too. We had some great discussions. Ohtani just knocked a rocket out. What was it, yesterday?
Sure did. He sure did. And the
they said it was 118 miles per hour.
Yep, 119 miles per hour. I love how you're keeping up with my Dodgers.
I'm keeping up with sports.
I mean, I love how I love how the LA teams get highlighted though. I love how my boys.
Well, I highlight them for you because you're on the show. Like we do this together. I'm gonna also talk about Mariners because you know Julio had his first home run. Plus, the Mariners, even though with a shitty ass start they had, have had like two swept series. They're now I think today they're losing to the Rangers, but yesterday they beat them. They've literally won like their last 6 or 7 out of 8 games. So
and we beat the Nationals today 11-2. So I'm like, and the Knights just scored. Let's go. 2-1.
Are we 2-1? Yes.
We are. With a minute and 7 left in the second period, I believe.
Yep. The jersey, so Jersey said Aaron Judge should be out of his slump tonight. I don't know, but they lost to the A's yesterday, I think. It was yesterday.
Yeah, that was
Monday.
Sad.
The Yankees
don't really have much anything going on anyway, so.
But how do you
with
not
Aaron
with
Judge Aaron... being in that slump, it don't help either, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Shout out to Goose's Braves as well. Of course, he's going to
be
loving on them. Outside of just our favorite
the Astros
teams.
The are still failing, so that's all I care about.
That's all that we care about in the American League West, let me tell you. Listen, The Mets got $1 hot dogs. I love the slogan, though. It's just, everyone loves a wiener. So if you're in New York and you want the dollar hot dogs April 30th, you can only get 4 per transaction. But I just love that
that's
everyone
fair.
Is a
that's 4 is good enough. Everyone, good number.
Everyone, and it's per transaction. You can just go sit down, come right back up, get you some more dogs. So.
Yeah, it's cool.
So we appreciate, although the Major League Baseball hasn't had a bunch of I've seen more injuries at the start of this year than I think I've seen in previous years. Am I correct to say that or? No,
we ain't got no injuries right now. We're just kind of off and on. And, you know,
I'm not talking about just your team. I'm talking about the league.
Listen, I'm only focused on my team. What are you talking about?
Well,
I didn't care about the rest of the league. When
dang.
I'm on my team right now.
Selfish. No, I like to know about what's happening in the league and sports.
I
support my team, but I want to know what's happening.
I'm betting on my team. I look at the injury list when we're playing like the Blue Jays coming up or something like that. I'm not looking. No, we ain't got no
girl. Come get your girl, somebody.
We're good. I don't care. I do not care. Like,
we'll just call.
What's my team doing?
Instead of talking about Major League Baseball, we'll just talk about Mo's team. That should just be it.
Heck yeah, because that's been the story. Ohtani and his translator. Let's keep talking. You know.
Moving on to girl power, because we literally have gone on a rant today. We appreciate everybody that's tuning in and checking with us because it's dope. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We want to give some girl power for sure.
Absolutely.
I know you had brought this to my attention too. So for the first time in history, the Olympic track and field champions will take home $50,000 cash prize. This is like, I'm just curious, like what are the other competitions or the other Olympic teams having the similar type thing or just track and field, but hey, listen, 50K and a medal, maybe.
I'm for it.
I'm all for it.
I'm all for it.
Similar to that.
Listen, I'm all for it.
Girl power to Serena's husband, Alexis. Is it Alexis?
Yes.
Yeah, Alexis.
And we should have reached out to him for Reddit.
Listen, this guy, first of all, so he has his 776 nonprofit, the 776 Foundation. So not only has he teamed up with Gabby Thomas to start a new track invitational. So the 776 Invitational will be held the end of September with the largest purse of crash prizes. So $60,000 for the first place, $25,000 for the second place, $10,000 for the third place in each event. Each event.
Yeah. Well, he's got that bread, so.
And listen, but I love that he's putting it out there and putting it towards women in business.
He's married to a woman in sports and business.
Well, hello.
And it's like, come on.
There are others.
If you ain't got an ally like that, I don't know what else.
And listen.
And a daughter. He's a girl dad. Let's go.
The foundation also is working with the Sports Bra PDX there in Portland to franchise out the sports bras there. So, and not to mention all the investment he puts in. The profit from that is all going back into girls and women's in sports via his nonprofit. Like the 776 Foundation is just.
You got to do it. I mean, there's no way you could be married to Serena Williams and be a girl dad at the same time with Olympia and just be.
I hope more will do it too. I mean, you know, yeah, he's got
huge.
The funds, but even there's other people that could be
it's
doing.
It's huge because
you know,
he could have
so
done anything else with that and he went that way. So big ups to him on that.
Yes, I love it. And last, I wanted to give the shout out to the Minnesota Lynx, who had a special ceremony for Alyssa Peely today at their arena. They actually, like, I think it's their mayor governor is the first Indigenous woman to have been elected into office.
Nice.
So she had this to say at their little welcoming.
Because you know what it means to be the first. And for our young people who will come here to this arena and watch you play for all of us. But I also want you to know that as the first, there's a lot of weight on your shoulders, but we're all gonna help you carry that. As a first Native American woman elected statewide, I've got your back.
Got your back.
And that resonates because Minnesota is one of those states. And I told you in Minneapolis, outside of that, they've got the indigenous resort and casino out there. I mean, it's big into that.
It's so huge. Yeah.
For her to have that. And it is going to be a load. It is. But she can do it. And she's strong.
She
enough
can.
To.
She's
and
strong.
I can't wait to see her on the court. I really can.
Absolutely. I be listen.
I'm a huge fan of hers, and so yeah. I would love, I just can't wait. So very, very good.
Yes. For all those of you just tuning in, we've been on for an hour and a half, so thanks for joining us now. But,
and thanks for joining the chat. Appreciate it.
For sure. Appreciate it. Thanks to the new people and new friendships we're making over at the Fuel Sports Network. Make sure, just so you know, we are going to be streaming live during our show on Roku and Amazon Fire Stick at the Fuel Sports Network. So make sure you check on that if you want to catch us there on your streaming device. If not, that's cool too. You can still find us here on Facebook Live as well as our YouTube. And we appreciate everybody that's. We got to give a big thank you to Coach Fran from the Thrill.
Flory for sure.
She was in our guest for like the first half hour of the show. If you miss it, feel free to watch the replay. But she is amazing.
And we gotta have her back on. I mean, I'm dead serious on the whole education of volleyball because that.
I get it. I mean, I learned some while I was there and I, you know, picked some ears on player positions and stuff. So it was good to know, but it was amazing to watch. If you're not, if you haven't been, make sure you check out a Thrill game on May 1st and May 6th, their last two home games of the season here in Las Vegas. So that's it. That's from us. We've gone long enough. We appreciate everybody. We thank you. And we will see y'all next week.
And go Knights go.
Go Knights go. Yes. Let's get this.